Yeehaw.
I don't know about you, but I got blessed last week. We're not done with this. Bless those persecuting you. Bless and do not curse. And the more I study this and the more I spend time with the Lord in this, the more I realize that this is one of the most powerful, authoritative weapons that God gives the body of Christ. This is huge. So I don't know how long I will teach on this until God directs me otherwise, but this is very important that we understand this, that we know how to apply this, understand why we apply this. Last week we read Deuteronomy 30:11 through 20 says, "For this command, which I am commanding you today, is not too wonderful for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, 'Who shall go up into the heavens for us and bring it to us and cause us to hear it that we may do it?' It is not beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who shall cross over for us to the region beyond the sea and take it for us and cause us to hear it that we may do it?' For the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." I think this is very important to understand in 12 and 13. "It's not in the heavens that you should say, 'Who shall go up into the heavens for it?' It is not beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who shall cross over for us?' It's in your mouth." He said, the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. And how often, because it's not really a part of our culture, we hear it in church and we know we're supposed to bless, so we'll pray and say, "God bless them with this and God bless them and God bless you." But he's telling us to do it. It should be in our heart. It should be a part of who we are, that we know how to bless and that there's power in it. It's with authority that we bless. We are blessed, therefore we do bless. And you don't have to cry out for God to bless someone. He's empowered you to bless them. You do it. I think that's important that we get that and understand the words that we speak. "Behold, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that, I am commanding you today to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands and his statutes and his judgments, and you shall live and multiply, and Jehovah your God shall bless you in the land where you are going in to possess it. But if you turn away your heart and do not listen and are drawn on, even you will bow down to other gods and serve them." And I asked everybody, stick a pin in that one, and I'm asking you to continue that. We will be going back to this verse. It's not for right now, but that one's key. "I have declared to you today that you shall certainly perish." Okay? So it says, "Behold, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. In that, I am commanding you today to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands and his statutes and his judgments. And you shall live and multiply, and Jehovah your God shall bless you in the land where you are going in to possess it. But if you turn away your heart and do not listen and are drawn on, even you will bow down to other gods and serve them. I have declared to you today that you shall certainly perish." And that word perish means to wander away. That is to lose oneself. If you fail to love the Lord your God in this way, you will be turned at your heart. If you turn away your heart and do not listen and are drawn on, even you will bow down to other gods and serve them, and you shall certainly perish. You shall certainly lose yourself. Who God created you to be, you will lose it. You will wander away from it. "You shall not prolong your days in the land which you are crossing the Jordan to go in there to possess it. I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live, you and your seed, to love Jehovah your God, to listen to his voice and to cleave to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, so that you may live in the land which Jehovah has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them." He's called on heaven and earth to witness against us today. He's called on the physical realm and on the spiritual realm. He's called on the spirit and the physical to witness against you that I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live. Both of them, in the spiritual realm and in the physical, will bear witness of what you speak out of your mouth. Okay? And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so whatever you're speaking, It will manifest in the physical and it will manifest in the spiritual. Behold, I've set before you today life and good and death and evil. He set before you life and good, death and evil. I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose your path. And he says, choose life, which is found in the blessing. There is the practical application of choosing life is to bless. Okay? And to bless just means to speak well of. Okay? To speak good into someone's life. Proverbs 18:20-21 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. He shall be satisfied with the produce of his lips. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. There is death and there is life in your tongue. Whatever you're speaking, if you continue to speak death, that's exactly what you'll get, is death. And I'm not talking physically dying, although it will lead to that. But it's death in many areas of your life. Psalm 59:12, for the sin of their mouth is the word of their lips, even let them be captured in their pride, and for cursing and the lying which they utter. Psalm 109:17-19 says, yea, he loved cursing, and it came to him. He also had no pleasure in blessing, and it was far from him. And he put on cursing as his robe, and it came like water in his inward parts, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as a garment he wraps in, and for a girdle that he always girds on. What you speak, God's given us the authority, he's given us the power to speak identity. And if you curse, you open yourself up to the curse. Okay? If you bless, you're opening yourself up to the blessing. Proverbs 26:2 said, as the wandering bird, as the swallow in his flying, so the causeless curse shall never come. Psalm 10:7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and injury, under his tongue are mischief and vanity. Proverbs 3:33 says, the curse of Jehovah is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the abode of the just. Romans 3:10-18 says, according as it has been written, there is not a righteous one, not even one. There is not one understanding, there is not one seeking God. All turned away. They became worthless together. Not one is doing goodness, not so much as one. Their throat is a tomb being opened. They use deceit with their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their way, and they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I don't know about you, but this sounds like serious stuff. I read this and it's like, I think God wants us to get something out of this. What are we speaking? What you speak is what you open yourself up for. And what are we speaking? Matthew 5:43-48 says, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those cursing you. Do well to those hating you and pray for those abusing and persecuting you, so that you may become the sons of your Father in heaven. Because he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers, what exceptional thing do you do? Do not the tax collectors do so? Therefore, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That word therefore, that verse 48 could also say, accordingly, you be complete as your Father is complete. Love your enemies, bless those cursing you, do well to those hating you, and pray for those abusing and persecuting you, so that you may become the sons of your Father in heaven. We've been talking about the whole process of slave to sonship. Here's a big part of it. Looking at this, this would be a huge part of it. It's a matter of knowing who you are in Christ. And we looked at Ephesians 1. I read all the way through that chapter last week, but just want to hit on this verse. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ. Do we understand and do you believe? That's a big part of it. Do you believe that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing? Everything's been made available to you. Every spiritual blessing. All spiritual blessing. Nothing left out. Psalm 34:11-16 says, my sons, come, listen to me. I will make known to you the fear of Jehovah. Who is the man who desires life, who loves days in order to see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Jehovah are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of Jehovah is against those who do evil, to cut off their memory from the earth. I think there's a key in this, if you think about it. This verse, where was it at? Right here. The last verse. And they did not know the way of peace. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And this psalm says, my sons, come listen to me. I will make known to you the fear of Jehovah. We say we fear God and we're not a blessing people. We don't understand the fear of God. That's what it's saying right there. It's saying that they had poison in their mouth. Everything that they were saying was cursing. And there was no fear. They had no fear of God. This one starts out, says, my sons, come listen to me and I will make known to you the fear of God, the fear of Jehovah. Who is the man who desires life, who loves days in order to see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Jehovah are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of Jehovah is against those who do evil to cut off their memory from the earth. Okay, 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12 starts off and says, and finally, be all of one mind, sympathetic, loving the brothers, tenderhearted, friendly. Okay, we've been talking a lot, a couple weeks ago, talking about brotherly love into love. This starts out and says, and finally, be all of one mind, sympathetic, loving the brothers. There's brotherly love again. Tenderhearted, friendly. Not giving back evil for evil or reviling against reviling, but on the contrary, blessing or give blessing. Knowing that you were called to this in order that you might inherit blessing. Knowing, that word, we talked about it a little bit last week. It is eido in the Greek. It means to see, to perceive with the eyes, to perceive by any of the senses. Means to turn the eyes, the mind, or the attention to anything. It's not just a matter of knowing something, but it's having it's knowing and perceiving something in order to give attention to it. Be attentive to it, that you were called. This word called is kaleo, means to call aloud, utter in a loud voice, to invite. You were called by who? By God, has called you, wants you to be attentive to the fact that you were called, that you were invited. With a loud voice, God spoke and called you to what? To bless. Okay? Knowing that you were called to this, you were called to bless. I found that same word called in Romans 4, and if I can get anything out today and hope that we grab a hold of it, it's what God showed me here. Romans 4, 17 through 18. Says, according as it has been written, I have appointed you a father of many nations before God, whom he believed, the one making the dead live and calling the things that are not as if they are, as if they were. He against hope believed in hope for him to become a father of many nations according to what has been said. So shall your seed be. I'm going to read this again and see if I can get this thought out of my mind here. According as it has been written, I have appointed you a father of many nations. That is a quote. Okay, that is what God spoke in Genesis 17:5 to Abraham. I have appointed you a father of many nations before God whom he believed, the one making the dead live and calling the things that are not as if they were. He against hope believed in hope for him to become the father of many nations according to what has been said, so shall your seed be. That is another thing that God said. That's a quote from Genesis 15:5. Abraham, God calls Abraham. Would you, anybody that knows the story, he calls Abraham and says, I want you to take your stuff and go. Go into this land and I'm going to give it to you. And by faith, he believes. He believes that he's heard God. He believes that God's calling into this land and he goes. The call in Abraham's life, would you say that's the grace of God? I would say that's just by his grace. God just chose him. We don't need to know why. It doesn't say that he was a righteous man, anything else. Just says God spoke to Abraham. Told him go. Okay? Abraham goes. while he's there, we have recorded a couple times when God specifically speaks to him and tells him, you're going to be the father of many nations, as we see here. I've appointed you a father of many nations. In another place it says, so shall your seed be. He's speaking to Abraham saying, this is what I'm going to give you. You're going to have children. Okay? Abraham, it's a big deal to Abraham. By grace, God speaks to Abraham, says you're going to have children. And it says, where's it again? In verse 18. He against hope believed in hope. Okay? Against all probability. You read through the story in Abraham at one point. It says that he falls down on his face and he's laughing. And he says, what? Is God going to give me a child at 99 years old? You know what I mean? Is he really going to cause my wife to have a child? Does he see how old she is? I mean, it's against all probability. In his eyes, in the physical, God is speaking those things that are not as though they were. God is blessing him. Okay? You're going to have seed. Abraham, against all probability, looking at it in the physical, looked against that and chose to believe in what God showed and what God told him. Here's the key about us blessing other people. If somebody is cursing you or if you're cursing someone else, there's judgment involved. Okay? You've already judged somebody. If you're cursing them, you have a judgment against them. They're a bad person. They're this. They're that. If somebody's speaking against you, there's judgment there. If they're speaking against themselves and you hear it, they're judging themselves. There is judgment involved in the whole thing. And when we speak, okay, they're already believing into the lie. They're believing into the curse. If someone's cursing you or someone's cursing themselves and they really don't see themselves as God sees them, right? Because if they see themselves as God sees them, then they know they're blessed with all spiritual blessings, would be in the highest authority. They are seated in the heavens, rooted in Christ. Nothing can take that away. So if somebody knows Christ and they continue to curse, they're not believing into the truth. They're believing a deception and there's judgment involved in it. Their own personal judgment is involved in it. And they're either cursing themselves or cursing someone else. When someone is cursing you and you bless, you're doing the same thing. You're speaking those things that aren't as though they are. And it doesn't matter what they do with it. Well, it does. But why God calls us to speak that way is because you're giving them the opportunity to believe into something than their own lie. All you're doing by blessing them is giving them something of hope to believe into. And they can look at themselves and you can look at them and say, Jesus loves you. And they can look at themselves and say, well, that's against all probability because I know what I've been doing. But if they choose to believe into that word, now they're blessed. Now they begin to turn their attention instead of it being their own judgment. You've given them something to believe into that is of the truth. If you've laid down your soul, if it's not in your own judgment, if it's your judgment, then all you're doing is cursing them. Okay? You need to lay down your soul for that person. If somebody, if you come into a confrontation and they're cursing, whether it be themselves or you or anything else, they're believing into a lie. They're in bondage to the lie. If I defend it, if I feel like I have to defend myself against their curse, David, I'm just using you as an example, man. I don't know if you've been cursing me or not, but it's not going to do you any good anyway. So, but if David's cursing me, if at the point where I feel I have to defend it is the point when I'm starting to believe what he's saying. If he's saying you're mean, if he's saying all those things, if he's saying you're ugly and your heart is wicked and all those things, and if I think I have to defend that, it's because I'm starting to buy into the lie. And in and of myself, I feel I have to defend that. If I know who I am in Christ, does it really matter what he's saying to me? Doesn't matter. He can say whatever he wants and all I have to do is turn around and say, that's not what Jesus told me. Now it's between him and God. Doesn't matter what else he does with it. Doesn't matter how much he keeps. Doesn't matter if he stomps his feet, beats me up, whatever he wants to do to try to convince me that I'm wrong. If I know that I know that I know, his words have no effect on my heart and my standing with God. And in blessing him in return, I can give him something else to choose to believe in other than the lie that's coming out of his mouth. It's no different. I'm speaking those things that aren't as though they are. And in blessing him, it's giving him the choice to believe into something else. His words haven't affected me because I'm standing in the truth of who Christ says that I am. It goes against all probability, and I'm choosing to hope into the truth. I'm placing my faith in that. And by that faith, Abraham was declared righteous. Don?
Well, the thing about so many things, we tend to believe a lot of don'ts. You know, the church for years has majored on don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. So what happens, it's real easy. We think we're retreating into something that is nothingness. But that's not true. If I withhold blessing, I have cursed. If I am the one called to bless that individual, and I won't be used in that way, then I cursed him.
Yeah, because you withheld the truth from him.
Yeah. And so many times, it's easy to just retreat into nothingness, but there is no such thing as nothingness.
Mm. We,
it's all of God.
It, when something bad happens to us and we really don't know what to say to it, okay? So we'll say, well, God bless them. Okay, that's nice. You're not saying anything bad towards them and you're calling on God to bless them, but what about the blessings put in you? If you don't have a blessing for them, then you haven't spent the time in prayer. You haven't laid down your soul. You're still caught up in your judgment, and rather than lay your judgment down, you're just saying, well, God, you bless them, because I obviously can't right now. But you haven't followed through in what you're supposed to do in your heart. It's still you not applying the Word of God. It's still not you coming into knowing who you are in Christ. The problem is we don't really know who we are. We lose sight of the fact that He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We lose sight of the fact that we were called into this. Be attentive to the fact that you were called to bless. You're called to this. God's invited you into this. He said, I've called on heaven and earth. I put the word in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's very near to you. You don't have to go somewhere or go to someone else to find it. You don't have to call on God to bless them. He said, I've given this power and this authority into you. Bless them. Bless and do not curse. Because all the lie doing, if you're cursing, all you're doing is building on the lie, one thing after another. And if David's cursing me and I curse back, all I'm doing is bringing death back to him. He's speaking death. I'm taking it. I'm cursing him back with death. And there's no life giving in the relationship at all. Nobody's helping anybody. All we're doing is speaking death. And God can't be in the middle of that. He isn't in the middle of that. He's calling us as believers to stop cursing and bringing more death to the situation. Lay down your soul. Don't be offended by it. You don't have to defend it because I call you blessed. And either you know that you're blessed in Christ or you don't. If all you're doing is cursing, then I challenge your beliefs. Whew. Yeah, I said it. If all I'm doing is cursing and I can't find the place to bless, then isn't it a matter of what I believe? This is a matter of what I believe. If I feel I have to defend myself, then obviously I am not believing into the covenant of Jesus Christ, that He is my provision, He is my protector, and He is my identity. Anybody comes against me cursing me, they're cursing Christ in me. Isn't He a big enough God to take care of that? This comes back to what I believe in my heart. If all I can find is curse, then I really don't know how blessed I am. But if I'll begin to bless, it says that knowing that you were called to this in order. I turn this thing off here. In order that you might inherit. The word inherit is kleronomeo. To receive a lot, receive by lot. Especially to receive a part of an inheritance, receive as an inheritance, obtain by right of inheritance. I think we're getting that picture. To receive the portion assigned to one. Receive an allotted portion. To receive as one's own or as a possession. To become partaker of. To obtain. If you want to obtain the blessing or the blessedness that God the Father has spoken over you, then you have to bless. This is what releases the blessing in your life, is by choosing to bless someone else. Not by choosing to shut your mouth. Because usually if you don't, like Don was saying, if you don't want to say anything, if you just kind of, I'm not going to curse, I'm not going to do anything, it's because you've got the curse going on in your heart anyway. You just know, I'm not going to let that out of my mouth. Okay? I'm not supposed to curse them. Okay. But we fall short and don't figure out and don't learn how to bless someone. This isn't even a part of our culture. This is a part, this whole thing of culture and value system just continues to run around in my head lately. I talked to Katie the other day, my daughter Katie, on the way back. She's looking at me like, what are you talking to me about this for? But what do we value? And what you value really has to do with culture. Okay, that is the culture. If we value relationship with Christ, that is the culture that's in this room. Okay? But what do we value in our lives? I was talking to Katie. She said, well, what do you mean? And I said, all right, let me give you an example. What do you want to be when you want to grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? She said, she wanted to be a photographer. I said, okay, so you value being a photographer. Katie, is it okay if I share this? It's a great example. Now I'm asking her. It's already too late. I got it out of my mouth, girl. We're just going with it. I didn't call you up here, though, so we're good. Katie said she wanted to be a photographer. I said, if you want to be a photographer, then that's the goal. You have great value in that. Okay? That's your heart's dream. You want to be a photographer. Now, what are you going to do to protect that? And she's like, huh? And I said, well, you're 12 years old, and you value being a photographer. All of these life choices are going to come in between now and when you become that photographer. And how much you value it will determine how much you protect it. Protect it from what? Well, let's use a boyfriend. I'm being the dad now. I'm going to throw this one in here real quick. If you value being the photographer, then how might a boyfriend distract you from that? Not that it's intentional, but how might a boyfriend become a hindrance and stop you or hinder you or get you off path from attaining what you value so highly? If you really value it, then that means you will protect it at all costs. You will keep the hindrances out of the way, and not that you have to be mean to the could-be boyfriend. But you can have relationship with people, but not allow them to hinder what's valuable to you. Our relationship with Christ should be first and foremost the most value to us. Okay? That growing in that intimacy and learning how to bless. The more I grow in the intimacy with Christ, the more I'm going to learn who I am in Him. The closer I'm getting to Him, right? I value that. It's changing a value system in people is very hard to do. Changing culture is very hard to do. When somebody's been raised in a certain culture, it is very hard to change that. They still value it. The greatest example to me in seeing culture is the Hispanic community. They value getting together as family, and they value getting together and sharing a meal. You talk about having a good time and good food. They value that. So much so that even coming into this country, they do not let go of that value. They find huge value in it. They protect that. They don't let the busyness of life get in the way. They'll still take the siesta when all of us are running around like a bunch of dummies. There's value in the siesta, am I right? There's value in a nap in the middle of the day. There's value in gathering together as a family and enjoying a meal. There's something to learn from that culture, but they value it, so they protect it. Is this making sense to anybody? What do we value? I'm looking at Katie, and I said, Katie, you value photography, and at my age and the things that I've been through in my life, what I've learned to value is relationship with people. That's what I value the most, is that. I don't value the number of people that are at church. I don't value all of the other stuff. I value the relationship. And if I need to give up something in order to protect the relationship, then I will. Because the relationship becomes the most important thing. Loving one another. And if I value the relationship, how will I protect it? That means I have to protect it from defilement. I have to protect the purity of that relationship. I have to make sure that I'm not cursing it. I have to make sure that I'm not bringing deceit into it. I have to make sure that I'm not allowing any of the negative things to get in the way, because I value that relationship the most, first and foremost with Christ. And in that, I can't help but the value of relationship with other people to grow in me. That's going to be the fruit of it. love one another as I have loved you. If I truly love and I'm growing in the relationship with Christ, then it will manifest in how I view the relationship with everybody else that's around me. I'll come to that place of truly loving them, which means I have to value them. And I don't let the lies, I don't let the gossip, I don't let all the other things get involved in the whole thing. If we could instill this in our teenagers, when they, you know, that crazy stuff and starting to be attracted to one another and all that stuff that leads to all that trouble. But if you taught them the value of the purity of the relationship. I want my daughter, I want my daughter to be able to have a boyfriend, but I want him to have the same value system that my daughter has, which means he will protect the purity of my daughter. Because the relationship, the purity is the most important part of that relationship. Don't let the defilement get in there. Bless and do not curse. We need to teach our children this. And the problem is we're trying to change a culture. If it doesn't start in here, if it doesn't start in your own relationships with your spouses, if it doesn't start in the relationship with your children, if it doesn't start in your home, it will never happen in here. And if it doesn't happen in here, it will never happen out there. We've got to change the culture of the church because of society and the world around us. We have lost sight of what it truly means to bless. This is what God has called us to. This is what knowing we are supposed to pay attention to the fact that we were called by invitation to bless so that we might be partakers of God's blessing. So that we might be partakers of all of those spiritual blessings. So that we might be partakers of the blessedness which is spoken into our lives by Christ Himself. By His works. By His grace. Is anybody finding any value in this? Not easy to do in the culture that we live in. You go to a place in the world that still values blessing, and yeah, it would be a whole lot easier. But we live in a cursing culture. Yes. I understand what you're saying, but there's a danger in that, because if someone, okay, well that's why I wanted to just kind of correct that word. As believers, our responsibility is to see them as Christ sees them. And are we going to speak that truth into them? Not condoning the sin. I'm talking about if you run into somebody that's not a Christian, hates God, all the stuff, are we willing to see them as God sees them? Are we going to lay down our judgments? And that's hard to do when somebody's coming at you. When they're coming at your God that you love so much, they might not even be coming at you, but at God in you. And when they're coming at you and they're cursing God and they're coming against that, it's really hard to lay down your soul and speak life back into that. But we have to learn how to do that. It's not condoning the behavior that's going on, but do we understand and do we know the love that God has for them, and are we willing to speak past the curse and just bless them? Even if they're coming at you. I'm sorry you feel that way about God, but I know how much He loves you. Even if that is enough to kind of check somebody, now you've got a door open where you begin to speak life into them. In Christ Jesus, you are blessed. He died for you on the cross. You see what I mean? It's like all of a sudden the walls start coming down. But if you get defensive, and how dare you talk about my God that way, and now you're just bringing confrontation to it. Now you're just cursing. I just want to make sure we're careful that word acceptance. The whole thing is the body of Christ. We've got to start practically applying the things we're learning. We've got to lay down our soul. We've got to be in the Spirit, seeing people as God sees them, rather than focusing on the sin and telling them, you've got to stop doing that.
What?
Yes, you do. If our focus is just to stop them from doing the bad behavior, then if all we're trying to do is change the behavior, we've never given a thought and a care for their soul. Okay? Changing the behavior doesn't do that. No, we've got to be concerned for the soul, not the behavior. But the problem is the behavior is acoustic, and we have trouble with the behavior that's going on. And all we want to do is our children just to behave. I just want you to stop, rather than going, Lord, why does my child continue to act like this? What's the heart issue? And being able to speak life into them and help them with the heart issue, rather than just trying to correct the behavior. Why are they acting like that in the first place? What's the root of it? If we don't find that heart where we care and value their soul, it doesn't matter about anything else. We've got to find the heart for the people's souls and love them. Don?
Well, one of the big problems, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. What was really Adam's sin? He assumed the role of making choices for his life.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped in and said, I'll be God in this situation. And that's what you're talking about here, is we are being God rather than retreating into God. You know, I have no adversaries if I am in God.
Mm-hmm.
He has adversaries, and he'll take care of them.
Yes, he will.
And the problem is, so many of us, we want to take and assert ourselves. And when that works out really well, you know, it's like,
It's human behavior. That's where we're all headed if we just continue on this path. That's what happens.
Well, you know, it started with Abraham. We call him the father of faith. But look at he listened to his wife, and he had a child that was born, and the woman's name means, I think, of the law, where Sarah means his promise. And so we ended up with Ishmael, and guess what? What is the world worried about right today? The same two. The same two are the confrontation in the Middle East that will eventually bring about the world destruction, where a third of the world is going to die.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be careful there, because there's some different viewpoints on that, and I'm still in the middle of studying all that. I don't know that the problem is so much Ishmael as it is Esau. So Esau is the big deal in that one. So, but again, that goes back to the blessing, which I'm hoping to look at next week. Esau, and looking at what was the value in valuing the blessing. Nikki, you had your hand up a minute ago. Did I skip right past you? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Adam, it's like, think about what the Lord calls out and says, Adam, where are you? Did God know where he was? God knew where he was. What did he want Adam to do? Realize where he was. Okay? Adam, where are you? And what was the confession of his mouth? I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? It was that woman you gave me. Okay? Fear, guilt, shame, and blame. Those were the confessions of his mouth. If somebody speaks to me and all I'm responding is the fear and the guilt and the shame, I'm going to end up blaming. And we end up blaming one another, which is just bringing death to the whole thing. God called out to him and asked him, Adam, where are you? Out of love. Adam, you need to realize what's going on. I got to wonder. I got to. What if Adam would have just come out of the trees and stood there and went and kept his mouth shut? I'm right here. What would have happened if he would have grabbed Eve by the hand and said, oh, I've had enough of this. And led her over to the Lord and said, Lord, she ate of the tree. You got to deal with her. You gave her to me. You deal with her. I don't know what to do. But you see that, but that's why it's not, that's why the fallen state of man isn't because of Eve. She was deceived. It was because of Adam. He chose to eat of it. He began to judge things from his perspective. He began to judge Eve as having more than he had. So he was provoked to jealousy and he ate of the fruit, trying to attain what he had judged her as having. There's all of these things. It's a different perspective. And all we keep trying to do is, don't eat that apple. Don't eat it. Don't do this, Ishmael. Don't do that. And it's not that. That's not the problem. I'm not condoning the this and the that. But the church, we are so sin conscious about everything that we continue to curse everybody. Oh, they're addicted to it. All they do is drink. All they do is this. And you're speaking death into their life. Don't do this. Don't do that. And they know they can't not do it. Somebody that's addicted to drugs or alcohol, they've already tried. How many of us that have been addicted before have already tried to quit on our own? So we get people in the church saying, you've got to stop doing that. Really? Thank you so much. That's not the issue. The issue is they need to be given the tools and the hope that in Christ they can be free from that. Because there's issues there, there's root issues. My problem wasn't drinking. My problem, I was mad at God. I was mad at hell, as mad as hell at God. I was so mad at 13 years old when he took my baby brother. I was mad because the people in the church kept saying, God told me he's going to live. God told me he's going to heal Seth. God told me this, God told me that. Guess what? 5.5 months later, that baby boy died. Guess what it left this 13-year-old doing? I was mad at God because God, you said, God never told me that. And I ran around all those years mad at God. I didn't need to hear stop drinking and stop doing drugs. I already knew it. And probably if I think about it, I already knew what God was saying to me. That's why I was drinking and doing drugs. Is this speaking to anybody? But we got to learn how to bless and not curse. The culture of the church needs to change. We've got to change our value systems, which means value the souls and those people that are walking around out there doing all the things that are offending you. Lay down the offense and love their soul. Care about them. Wrap your arms around them. See that some of those people that are shoving you away, what they really want you to do is love them enough to pursue them and hug them. Don't push back. Every time they push you away, that's fine, but I'm still going to hug you. You might as well stop. Because I'm in pursuit of your soul. Because the love of God that's in me will not let me deny the fact that he loves you and I'm going to be the expression of it in your life. How much do you love that person? How much will you pursue them when God's speaking into your heart and he's saying, love them, hug them. I know it's bad and I know what they're doing bad, but tell them I love them. You love them. Do you see what they're doing? This is what we do. God, make them stop doing this and then I'll hug them. Make them take a shower first. They stink. Whatever it is, we do our prayer time. We keep telling God to fix this stuff in them and then we'll be obedient to it. He's saying, you do it. Do it. Bless them. I know they're cursing you, but you're not cursed. You're blessed. Bless them. Can't give them what you don't have. Yes.
One of my kids a hard time last year, and I walked my daughter through just seeing this art and asking God to show her, and she broke. And she prays to this boy, and they're friends with me. And he doesn't hurt in front of her anymore. And there's a life to be friends with instead of a taking friendship. And he basically looked at me like, I can't believe you're asking me to pray for them. But really, that's where it will change. That's where our culture will change. Deep life will hurt the whole church. And those younger than us,
Not giving back evil for evil or reviling against reviling, but on the contrary, give blessing. Knowing, paying attention to the fact that you were invited and called to this in order that you might be a partaker of the blessedness of God. The interlinear says, having perceived that into this you were called, that blessedness you should be tenanting, you should be dwelling in. Of blessing you should be enjoying the allotment. The interlinear? This is what the interlinear says in the Greek. Having perceived that into this you were called, that blessedness you should be tenanting or enjoying the allotment of. Everybody got that? It'll make you think. And then it quotes the psalm that we were in earlier, Psalm 34. Not giving back evil for evil or reviling against reviling, but on the contrary, give blessing, knowing that you were called to this in order that you might inherit blessing. For the one desiring to love life and to see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, even his lips not to speak guile. Let him turn aside from evil and let him do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against any doing evil things. And who is the one harming you? If you become imitators of the good, who can harm you? I mean, this is a blatant question. Who is the one harming you if you become imitators of the good? If you know that you are blessed, who's harming you? It depends on what you're believing. But if you truly suffer because of righteousness, blessed are you. But do not fear their fear, nor be disturbed. Ooh. But if you truly suffer because of righteousness, blessed are you. But do not fear their fear nor be disturbed, but sanctify. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to everyone asking you a reason concerning the hope in you with meekness and fear. Yeah. Do not fear their fear. If someone's cursing me, I'll use David as an example again. If he's cursing me and coming at me, it's out of fear. If he's defending himself, his fear is that what I've spoken to him is true. If I'm speaking life into him, there's nothing to fear, right? If I'm blessing him, why would he fear? Why would anybody fear a blessing? But if I'm believing what he's saying to me, if he's coming at me, making accusation at me, I'm not supposed to be fearing his fear. It may be coming out in anger. Whatever it is, but I'm not fearing it. It has no hold on me because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has called me blessed. He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings. I have nothing to defend, nor do I have anything to fear. Do not fear their fear, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to everyone asking you a reason concerning the hope in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. That while they speak against you as evildoers, they may be shamed, those falsely accusing your good behavior in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God wills it, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And I want to repeat that verse again. For it is better, if the will of God wills it, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. There's something twisted about us as Christians sometimes that we know how to create our own persecution. Some of you understand that. Think about that. We are really good about creating our own persecution. We run around out there cursing. We run around out there getting caught up in the things of the world when somebody says something bad against us, and we go, well, I'm just being persecuted. Oh, no, you're not. You're getting what you dished out. But we create an environment where it paints us. We're really good at being at painting ourselves the martyr. For it is better if the will of God wills it to suffer for doing good than for evil. Because even Christ once suffered concerning sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, indeed putting to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing seated in the heavens, rooted in Christ. It cannot be taken from you. But you can fail to partake of it. We must be attentive to the fact that we are called into blessing others so that we might partake of our blessedness. You can't be blessed and cursed too. Okay? You can't do both. You can't partake of the kingdom of God and live in unrighteousness. Can't do both because it's a condition of the heart. Do you desire to love life and see good days? Really? Nobody? Wait a minute. Do you desire to love life and see good days? Then we must refrain our tongue from evil. Do not speak guile. Turn aside from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Bless and do not curse. Guile. Oh, man, I looked up that word too. Not right now, I can't. I knew somebody was going to ask me that. I even looked up the definition and I'm like drawing a blank right now. Does anybody else know the word guile in Scripture, in the Greek? Deceit. Deceit. I remember that was one of the main words that I saw jump out at me when I looked up that word. It would be deceit. Yeah. And deceit is really sneaky. If we start examining our hearts, we're really messy with that one. Sure. Or yeah.
Deceit is also presuming to tell someone that they have to change their behavior in order to be accepted by God.
Say that again.
Deceit is also the arrogance of telling someone else that they have to change their behavior in order to be accepted by God. That's when we go to someone and tell them, quit doing this, because God doesn't like that. God doesn't approve of that. That's fear on our part.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from a place of fear. That I know the mess in my own life, and I'm struggling to clean it up. So in order to feel good about myself, I have to point out the flaws in you. For us to move forward, to even consider doing something like celebrate recovery. We need to get a handle on this because this is huge. Somebody said a little while ago that the scripture about Jesus with the woman caught in adultery and said, go and sin no more. What he actually said to her was go and don't be denied any longer your inheritance. And that's what we've been talking about in the blessing is if that's an inheritance. That's been mm-hmm. purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been blessed with him, by him, in him, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. There's nothing we can do to change that position. Mm-hmm. We're there. We have that. And when you were talking about Katie and protecting her, what is of value to her, that inheritance is should be the most valuable thing to us.
Amen.
We protect that inheritance. Not by telling someone else what to do.
Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. This is huge.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to read through this kind of like I ended last week in 1 Peter. I want to read through James chapter 3. And Steve was in that this morning. There's no coincidence to that. James chapter 3 says, "My brothers, do not be many teachers, knowing that we will receive greater judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, this one is a mature man." And remember, this is the same word, teleos, I believe is how it's said in the Greek. The same word in that, to be perfect as God is perfect. This is the same word. Okay. "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, this one is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the mouths of horses for them to obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships also, being so great and being driven by violent winds, they are directed by a very small rudder, where the impulse of the one steering purposes. So also the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how little a fire kindles how large a forest. And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. So the tongue is set among our members, spotting all the body, and inflaming the course of nature, and being inflamed by hell. For every species of beast, both indeed of birds, of creeping things, and of sea animals, is tamed, and has been tamed by the human species, or by man. But no one of men is able to tame the tongue. It is an unrestrainable evil, full of death, dealing poison. By this we bless God and the Father, and by this we curse men, having come into being according to the image of God. Out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brothers, it is not fitting for these things to be so. Does the fountain out of the same hole send forth the sweet and the bitter? My brothers, a fig tree is not able to produce olives, or a vine figs, so neither can a fountain produce both salt and sweet water. Who is wise and knowing among you? Let him show his works by his good behavior and meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but is earthly, beastly, and devilish. For where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion in every foul deed. But the wisdom from above is firstly truly pure, then peaceable, forbearing, yielding, full of mercy and of good fruits, not partial and not pretended. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for the ones making peace." Whew. I don't know how to say it any other way. The value of this. We wonder, I mean, just in our own personal lives, our own health, our finances and all of the things that we get caught up worrying about, yet the confession of our mouth is constantly cursing those things. We curse our bodies, we curse our finances, we curse our spouse, we curse our children all the time, and we wonder why our families are so out of order and so full of conflict. We come to church and we wonder why there's dissension in the body and one person's thinking this and another person's thinking that. It's because nobody's laying down their soul and really finding the heart of God for the ministry as a whole. So, and then we continue to curse one another and tell them that they're wrong and that person's an idiot and they don't have the heart of Christ and na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And we wonder why the body of Christ doesn't walk in authority anymore. Read the book of Acts. I want to see that manifest so bad. Not the things, but the heart of the people. Having all things common. Blessing and not cursing. Truly loving the brethren. Knowing that there's nothing that can be done that is going to, nothing can happen that will cause me to deny that Bruce is my brother or that Joe is my brother or that Linda is my sister. In the same way that my earthly brother is my brother, nothing I can do, I can deny that. And in the spirit and in the body of Christ, we should view one another the same way. How can there be any offense that could separate the relationship that we have with one another? How can we let anything come in the way of that? If we've let anything come in the way of that, we've lost the value of the relationship and for that other person's soul in the first place. We watch churches over the years argue over carpet. We laugh, but it happens. If you want to know, we'll start a building project tomorrow and see if we can all get along. This is the kind of stuff that happens. It's the little things that we think we know better than everybody else. Oh, there you go. Don?
Next time we paint anything around here,
I'm going to have a poster. Yeah. Maybe we'll start voting on who can talk during service and who can't. Truth is, he's my wife's grandfather, and I can't do anything about that. Oh, man. I heard my wife laughing. Man, there's value in this. When I see myself as totally blessed and nothing can touch that, nothing can take it away, I can't help but bless others. There's nothing. Truth of it is, there is nothing that can be said or done that can take away or add to who Christ says you are. Only what you believe into. And if somebody says something and calls you wicked or mean or evil, and you believe it, you will defend yourself in it. And if you believe it, you've already bought into it and you've lost sight of who Christ says you are that quick. Abraham chose to be against hope, to be against all the probability. He looked at his condition and it was against everything that God was telling him, but he chose to believe what God was telling him. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Lord, I pray you would pound this into our hearts. But Lord, I know that's not your way. Lord, I pray that as a body, Lord God, that we would grow in our relationship with you as individuals, Lord, and as a body, Lord, as we learn to love one another and bless one another. We begin to see one another through your eyes. And we begin to be the expression of your heart, Lord God. Lord, I pray that would be the fire that would burn through this place. And Lord, it will be infectious. Lord, if our desire is to change the community we live in, then we've got to change the culture that we're living in right here, right now. And then that, Lord, it will begin to grow. Lord, I bless each person that's here this morning. That they would be baptized, Lord, that they would be immersed in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowing of you, Lord. Not just seeing you at a distance, Lord God. Not just growing in experiential knowledge, Lord God, and experiencing your presence, but Lord, that we would come into that place of revelation knowledge, knowing that we are in you, Lord Jesus. That you are in the right hand of the Father. We in you are in the right hand. Lord, immerse them in the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord God. Lord, that we would truly become the expression of your heart, Lord God. In this building and in this community, O God, and in the workplace and in our homes, O God. That the love of God would begin to flood our lives.
To rise to you, when comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Lord God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.